and the subject will be inverse spectral problems on compact and non-compact trees.
Thank you very much. And of course, I also thank the organizers for inviting me. When I was asked if it's possible to give the last lecture, I said, of course, yes, since, as usual, last lecture is open-end. And you cannot lose your right to have coffee or tea, doesn't I put non-compact graphs into brackets because there's not enough time to go into details, and instead of graphs, maybe it would have been better to say trees. I shall make the introduction quite short because we had already a similar kind of notation. So we have really a tree. Compact means finite number of edges and vertices. For simplicity only, we take length 1. This is not really necessary. This only will make the formula simpler if you really make calculations. So we have boundary edges and interior edges. Colleagues sometimes said instead of boundary edges, maybe exterior edges. The set of boundary vertices is V0, V1 up to Vp. The enumeration is so that V0 is the root. Of course, all the other boundary vertices could be root, but we fix root to be V0. And then we have a natural ordering because you can embed into R2 or Rm. This is not really used only for notation, so we can have an ordering in interval Lb is just an ordered set in this sense that those points that are closer to the root, these are, in this case, A, Lb has more distance to the root. If we have a vertex V, the set R of V is a set of those edges that are emanating, not that edge that has endpoint V. So, for example, this is a simple example with 8 edges, and you see the enumeration is so that the edge EK ends at vertex VK. Not necessary to enumerate in this way. The order of the edge is nothing else than the distance because the edges have length 1, and the same is the order of the vertex. So we have a certain height of the tree. This is the maximum length of a possible path. And the order of a vertex allows to define V mu, which is the set of all vertices of the same order, mu. And then, of course, since we said we have length 1, we can parameterize in this way. So each edge corresponds to an interval 0, 1. And therefore, an integrable function on the tree will be expressed as a vector defined on 0, 1. And it has the same number of components as we have edges. Of course, you can identify this with this function y tilde, which is really defined on the tree, but we will not do this. We have another vector q consisting of integrable, complex-valued, or if you prefer, real-valued functions. This will be the potential, the vector of potentials. Of course, if you have complex-valued things, it will be automatically usually non-silent joint. This is not so important for us, since our method also works in the non-silent joint case. But if in the non-silent joint case, you need an additional condition so that the algorithm really will work. And what are we studying? Second-order equations of this type 1, Sturm-Liouville type, or one-dimensional Schrödinger, if you like. Where for convenience we assume that these coefficients are simple. I will show in the sequel that the inverse problems that we are studying can be reduced to a sequence of inverse problems for an interval. And of course, there are hundreds of publications under various assumptions, in particular complicated coefficients here, maybe distributions or maybe weight functions. We don't want to have complicated coefficients. Let me first explain what we want to study. We have this differential equation, and in internal vertices, we have matching conditions, which may be a little bit more complicated than we have usually. It's not necessary that yk of 0 is equal yj of 1 if this means only if akj is equal 1 we have continuity, it's not necessary. And similar, it's not necessary to have Kirchhoff type conditions. The conditions containing derivatives here, the second line, is also rather general, real or complex coefficients. The only assumption we have in this moment is that this product akj times ak1j is non-vanishing. The standard conditions, or those where you have continuity and Kirchhoff type, they are just obtained if you choose the constant in this way. Of course, you can take it. What we need in order to be able to perform our process is that equation 3 is valid. It's a simple relation between these coefficients that we call regularity conditions. Otherwise, the leading terms in the asymptotics will cancel, and then we should use more sophisticated methods. Now, we have 2R minus P minus 1 conditions in as matching conditions, and we want to have a boundary condition, so we need a further functional. Please remember that we had P edges. No, P boundary edges, but R edges, and we introduce two sets of functionals. For S equals 0, we have P plus 1 functionals. Of course, if you put it in 0, we have P plus 1 boundary conditions, and they apply at the boundary words. This is Vj. For S equals 1, we have something similar, and the only thing we assume in the moment that for S equals 0 and 1, you do not get the same. They should be different. Why I use two types of functionals will be clear in a moment. This is because we want to have not only one boundary value problem, we want to have many of them. The problem L is defined by the differential equation 1, by the matching conditions 2, and by the boundary conditions uj0 of y equals 0 applying in all boundary vertices. Yes, in each vertex, one condition. If you replace one of these functionals, uj0, namely uk0 by uk1, and put this instead equals 0, then we have another boundary value problem. And of course, this can be done for any of these indices. So we have p plus 1 problems lk and the problem l of similar type. It turns out that under these assumptions, each boundary value problem has a countable number of eigenvalues. If the coefficients would be known, they could be asymptotically estimated. The asymptotics is known. So we denote them by lambda L for capital L, by lambda LK for capital LK. Now, maybe I should first make a remark for those who are not specialists in inverse bracket problems. It was known since around 60 years that if you have one differential equations, one interval, then you need, in order to determine the potential and the boundary condition, not only one sequence of eigenvalues, you need two sequences of eigenvalues. Or you need one sequence of eigenvalues and a sequence of normalizing conditions, which can be replaced by so-called Levenson-type conditions, or you can use so-called Weyl-type functions. This is all equivalent, as I shall explain a little bit later. This means one interval, one Weyl function. Now we have several intervals, namely all edges. For each edge, we need one Weyl function. Why did we study this problem? I studied this problem because in the end of 2004, when my co-author Yoko visited me, I found a paper by Malcolm Braun and Rudi Weicker to prove the uniqueness of an inverse problem as I study here by using, as many others here also did, Dirichlet-Neumann map. And this Schlitter-Neumann map contains elements, entries, which are nothing else than functions that sometimes are called while or while titchmarsh or m functions and so on. Each of these functions contains the information, for example, of two spectra. And when we saw this paper, they proved uniqueness. My co-author was quite emphasized because he said, oh, they are using Schlitter-Neumann map. This is Y function, and all his life he solved inverse problems starting from Y functions. And so I said, so let's solve the problem. They have uniqueness, we will solve it. But we had only some days' time because we were finishing the paper. And so Yoko said, we can finish with our visit next time, but we liked this problem because we had been working in inverse problems, and it was more or less clear from all these data, from this matrix, you could immediately solve the inverse problem, just you have to apply the whole machinery. Of course, it's non-trivial, it's hard work, but it could be done. And we found out, and this is in principle the same what our colleague Avdonin told yesterday, you do not need this whole matrix. It's sufficient to have the diagonal except one element. This is also the result of this recent paper that was finished on Wednesday by Avdonin and Kurasov. They solved the corresponding inverse problem that we want to solve by applying a boundary control method. This method is in particular interesting if you want to generalize to PDE. And what we want to apply is a classical method, one of the classical methods that is usually valid for OT, and give an explicit algorithm starting from the minimal spectral data that are really necessary. So in order to define the spectral data in this maybe quite unusual sense, namely in the sense of while functions, I have to define what we want to understand by while functions and while solutions. The function capital psi k is a vector, number of components is the number of edges. To each edge, one component is corresponding. And these vector solutions are solutions of our differential equations, satisfying matching conditions 2, and these conditions in the boundary vertices, which means psi k satisfies inhomogeneous condition, uk of psi k equal 1, and all others are homogeneous. And this can be done for any k, so you get different vector solutions psi k. These are special solutions. And if you evaluate such a solution with another function, namely uk1, that's where we have uk0 and uk1, then you get a function depending only on lambda, and each of these functions is denoted for us a y function. Why is this a y function? The reason is that it contains similar information as I already explained and has similar properties as a y's m function. So, capital M of lambda is now a vector having p components mk. Please remember, they are obtained by evaluating special type of solutions at the vertices. This vector is the Weyl vector. The solutions are the Weyl solutions. Now, we need some technical stuff. It's not difficult, it's quite easy, but I have to explain it. If you really want to solve an inverse problem from certain spectral data, you have to fix, of course, your functions. And now, just to have something concrete, we take uj0 in this way and uj1 in this way. They are obviously independent, two independent functionals in each point vj. And moreover, we are using, this has already been used in other lectures here, special solutions, phi sub j and s sub j, they are defined in the following way. S sub j is a sine type solution, so it satisfies in 0 the same initial conditions as sine function. And this function is chosen in such a way that it satisfies this homogeneous boundary condition. Here I abbreviated a little bit too much, this must be equal 1. Value. So we have different solutions satisfying certain initial conditions. The reason that I'm using this special solution, phi j and sj, means it depends on the form of these equations. Otherwise, you have to work with other solutions. This will simplify our work. Namely, what you get is the following. In particular, please look at 5. You see, the components of the vector psi kj, can be represented, this is trivial, as linear combinations of these special solutions, and the connecting coefficients are functions mkj 0 and 1. In particular, for k equal 1 to p, we have equation 6. And you see, if you know the classical connection between Weyl-M function and special solutions of Sturm-Liouville problem, you have exactly this relation. In all situations, the Weyl functions for this compact tree are functions which are meromorphic of order 1/2 in the eigenvalue. The poles are exactly the eigenvalues lambda L of our problem L. The zeros of mk are exactly the eigenvalues of problem lk. So each function contains the information of 2 spectra. It's equivalent. If the poles are simple, we can also introduce the so-called spectral data. Of course, we call the Weyl vector also spectral data. But equivalent would be if you have 1 sequence lambda L and p sequences alpha lk, where the alpha lk are the residues at the eigenvalues. Why are these spectral data? If you know what's going on in the one-dimensional case, these residues are exactly the Rating numbers. So in the classical theory, you use 1 sequence of eigenvalues, 1 sequence of Rating numbers. They are these. It's all interconnected. If you look into the book I wrote with Yoko on inverse problems, there you can find details for the one interval. So, and then, of course, we can really define inverse problems. 3 different ones, but essentially equivalent. Namely, we study inverse problems of recovering the potential and the coefficients h sub j of the boundary functionals all together from the following spectral characteristics. Either from the Weyl vector, so you have p Weyl functions, p scalar meromorphic functions, or from the system of p plus 1 spectra. That's why we needed so many boundary functions in order to define really p plus 1 different problems with different spectra, or from the spectral data. It's more or less all equivalent, as we shall see. And then come a lot of technical things. Of course, one has really to solve it. And if you want to solve it, you use asymptotic estimates for solutions. The problem is in the moment that we even don't have the coefficients qj. We have to determine them. And the idea will be as follows. You have a tree starting from information at the boundary vertices. You construct the potential on the boundary edges, and then step by step you continue until you reach the root and you have determined all what you want. I will skip these technical details. These are the standard estimates that can be solved. So in between we will solve the so-called local inverse problem for each boundary edge, so for k equal 1 to p. We say, if nk is given, we construct qk of x and hk, the boundary value problem. This is a classical inverse problem for one interval, and you can choose any algorithm that you like. You could choose boundary control, but of course, if you have mk, it's most convenient to use the method of spectral mappings. You can find it in our book. Or you can use Gelfand-Levitan methods, sometimes called transformation operator method. There are different variants. There are many numerical algorithms. In principle, the theory is known, and one knows what to do. So I will not go into details how to solve an inverse problem for one single interval. Yes, we reduce to known problem. Therefore, I will skip all the some comments concerning the solution. In order to solve successively our problem, we need to solve a problem ZT. I have time to 10 minutes, yes?
Yes.
So we have a problem that we call Z of T V naught A. V naught is the root, T is the tree, A is some constant, and we are looking for a solution vector psi satisfying the differential equation, matching conditions, and these boundary conditions where this constant A is exactly the value in the root. This will not only be done for the whole tree, this will be done during the algorithm for certain subtrees. Yes, of course, then a V naught is the root, maybe in other vertex, and the constant will be given. If we substitute this equation 10, which is always valid, if we know S sub j and phi sub j, we should of course know this, into these functionals, boundary conditions, matching conditions, we get a linear algebraic system. This system is solvable except for certain eigenvalues. You can use, for example, Cramer's rule if you don't have too many. Otherwise, you use a maybe more sophisticated method. So, in principle, if I will refer to problem ZT V naught A, this is nothing else than a simple solution of linear system of equations. And now, we have another problem. We have Weyl solutions, which are defined only with respect to the boundary vertices. But with these Weyl functions, with these functions, I can only determine the value of the potential on E1, E2, E3, E4, E5, not on the rest. I need to construct Weyl functions for the interior vertices, for example, for V8, in order to construct the potential on V8. What do we do? First, we define smaller trees, T sub K, for example. You see, T6 naught is the green part, and T6 is the white part. You just divide into two parts, and this can be done also for all other vertices. TK, TK naught. Gamma K is the set of boundary vertices of TK. Of course, the number of vertices of TK is usually less. EK is the set of boundary edges. This is the set of indices of the edges of TK. And if we have now a solution vector for the whole tree, we can associate to such a function a shorter vector Y in brackets K, which has only the number of JK components. It's just a little bit less, smaller. The Weyl function for the smaller tree TK is obtained in the following way. We fix one interior vertex denote by the shorter vector psi k, a similar vector. You see this set of indices a little bit smaller than before. We have a solution of 1 satisfying the corresponding matching conditions, of course only in those vertices that are still there, and the boundary conditions in the endpoints, plus the information that this functional is given. We have chosen for this k this form of the functional, because this was not defined. You see, we have not a boundary vertex, it's an interior vertex, there we have matching conditions, but no boundary conditions. This has to be introduced. In addition, we can choose as we like. We could also choose only the value of the function. This solution, this special one, is also called Weyl solution for the smaller tree with respect to Vk. And if we evaluate at x equals 0, then we get the Weyl function mk. So we have Weyl functions also for all interior vertices, just by this definition. And now this is a crucial lemma. In order to understand how the algorithm works, we start with a Weyl vector, which is defined on each edge. And let's say you have boundary edges. Then you know here, 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 on all boundary edges. We start with edges of the same order, and let's say we have the while functions for vk, and we want to have the while function for vm if we have such an edge called ek. Then the following is valid. It's rather easy. This shorter vector, psi sub m, belonging to vm, is obtained for the longer vector psi k by multiplying with this factor and throwing away some components. And the same is with the while function m, capital Mm, which is obtained from this value by multiplying with this factor. The only thing is this capital Amk is a rather complicated sum. And unfortunately, in this sum, this red part is unknown. It's not yet determined. You see, we want to determine a matrix from one part of information, and we start, let's say, from here, then the next, and now we want to have information connected with Vm. We have the information connected with Vk, and now we need psi kj for j belonging to edges that are lying here. In particular, not this one. And in order to get this information, we have to construct these functions and their derivatives. And this is nothing else than solving a system of equations, as I showed before, because we have relations as they are given in 14 and 15. If we have these sine-type functions, the function phi sub j, then we can construct by a set procedure these connecting coefficients. And in a special case, if we have mk, we have also this equation. So knowing these functions in 1, 1, we get this function and this equation, and this is exactly what we needed here. And now I can sketch very briefly how the procedure works. I start with the inverse problem where I start from the y vector. So we have given this vector. The procedure for the solution consists of the realization of so-called A mu procedure, starting from mu equals sigma, then mu equals sigma minus 1, where sigma is the height. If you have mu equals sigma, you are in a boundary vertex, boundary edge. Step 1. For each boundary edge in E sigma, having longest distance to the root, we solve the local inverse problem with any method that you like. There are numerical algorithms. You get qk of x and hk. Then you can solve the direct problem because now you have the potential. You solve for these solutions, special solutions, because the coefficient is known. And you can calculate in particular this value that is needed because you have mk, this value of the sine type function, and of phi k. Third step, this concerns something connected with here. Only the problem is this is only one simple step in the first part. We need these connecting coefficients. And in the first step, if you make only the first step, you can write down the solution explicitly. This is just what you have. You have it already. When you have these connection coefficients, then you can have the next while function mm. You see, roughly speaking, you have the while function for this, and you construct the while function for the next vertex. This is possible. And in principle, it goes further in the same way. The only problem is that this third step will be a little bit more complicated. I show very, what's this? So we carry out a new procedure for the remaining other mu. In principle, step 1, solve a local inverse problem. Step 2, solve for these special solutions. Determine this value of psi kk. Step 3, use the returning procedure, which means solve a linear system of equations And step four, you get the while function. And in principle, you do this till you have reached the root. That's all. Specification of the vector uniquely determines the potential, and successively you get the complete solution. If you have problem two, you use the following relation. The while function mk is a canonical product of ratios. So it's a product of these terms, the ratio of two canonical products with the eigenvalues, and it can be reduced to the preceding one. It's also solvable. And in case three, the while function is represented in this simple way. This is conversion. This comes from the asymptotics of the eigenvalues. In all cases, you can solve the problem completely. Thank you very much.
Questions?
It doesn't sound like you would address this problem of, just on the interval, there's this idea that take the spectral data and make it into a Hilbert space and identify that with the potential, the L2 space of potential.
This is a kind of formulation of the inverse problem. You see, I said more or less nothing how to solve this local inverse problem. This depends on the type of spectral data you have, either discrete spectral data, several sequence of eigenvalues or eigenvalues and weighting coefficients or whatsoever, or you have continuous spectral data in the form of several functions. This just depends, and you can choose the method that ever you like. If you are working, let's say, with bordering control universal, I like this most. Most people, in my opinion, for this simple, not simple situation, but one-dimensional situation, use Gelf and Levitan method. And my friend, for example, he prefers a method of spectral mappings, which he described in his book. And there are a lot of variants. And, of course, this is only an introduction into the topic, because if you have more complicated coefficients, there are more technical problems. If you have, instead of a compact graph, one non-compact edge, then the problem is a bit more complicated. In principle, you work similarly. The only problem is that now the spectrum has a continuous part, and M of lambda is not a meromorphic function along a cut along a continuous spectrum. Assume itself a joint and its real axis positive. You have to use, in principle, inverse problem method for solving a problem on the half line, at least connected with this part. If you have several unbounded arcs, then, of course, you could split the problem and try to solve these works, but you need more information than necessary. It's better to use the scattering, inverse scattering problem, but we didn't touch this.
I'm not sure. Maybe I didn't communicate my question quite right. If you had no infinite length edges, then you would have some collection of a sequence that you have a finite set of potentials. So you have some map from the potentials to your spectral data.
Yes, I know that people consider this like in Drugovich.
Yeah.
We did not study. Of course, you could in principle try to study such questions, but we did not.
Okay. That was my question.
Okay. Also, I probably missed this, but from your inverse procedure, do you recover the boundary conditions of the internal vertices on the graph?
Yes. We recovered the potential and all boundary conditions. These were these constants h sub k. What we did not study recovering the length because we fixed it to be 1. If it's not 1, you can also determine the length, he explained, Mr. Avdoni, but we did not really use this. Of course, the leading term in the asymptotics of the eigenvalues is influenced by the length of these intervals. It's clear, it goes into the first term. But we did not touch this because we said length is 1 for simplicity, because otherwise we have to track these coefficients.
What about cycles? So if you take a circle,
I propose this.
What is Yes. It's not in the case of the circle, for example.
We did not allow cycle. Then you get problems like in the for inverse problems for with periodic coefficients.
Yes.
I discussed this with Yevgeny Korodyadov and told him please solve, because he is a specialist for problems with periodic coefficients. He said, let's do it together. But we did not have time. I do not know if
it's more complicated.
It's no. Yes, at least it's another kind of problem, yes. You see. We just use this because my co-author, he is a specialist for the method of spectral mappings, and that's why he proposed this. But of course, he knows all the other stuff also well. It's additional work. Just additional work, and before you have done it, and look what happens. You cannot say it works easy or complicated. At least you get additional problems.
Now, because it's the last conference, in the name of all participants, I have to thank the organizers. And also thank the Newton Institute for its hospitality and good conditions. Also all the speakers.
Still a couple of quick announcements. First of all, again, don't kill me if I repeat this, but if you haven't filled the questionnaire, please do so. For instance, if they have removed the table already, then you can submit them to me, and I will make appropriate changes in your business. Then... we plan to have, I wouldn't call it proceedings, since it kind of diminishes the status, but we plan to have at least one volume of papers coming out of this long program, and we have very good participants, so we plan to have really nice volume of papers. So the notification will come later at the end of the program, but you can start planning now if you want to notify me, for instance, if you plan to have a paper. It's okay. I will keep my notes that I will know the perspective. So you can be planning on having this volume.
Do you have any thoughts about length of the papers?
We are thinking of having both survey papers, since we have many leading experts here in the program, and research papers. For survey papers, it can probably get longer. For research papers, we haven't discussed this yet, those details, but I would say ballpark